So, good day everyone. We're here for another episode of the DVD show. So, for today, we have a current De La Salle Green Archer and also current DLSU men's volleyball player. And he also recently graduated and finished his MBA in La Salle. So, I'll now welcome here on the DVD show, Ben Phillips. Thank you for joining me here on the pod.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, so to start things off, I want to congratulate you finishing your MBA in La Salle and also playing well in the Davao tournament and also in Japan for La Salle. So how's it been like for you now? Are you on break since you're done with school or still busy?
Yeah, actually, no. Medyo chill lang ngayon kasi we just got back from Davao and we were able to win that championship. So thank you to the people of Davao for having us. It was an amazing experience. Parang maraming tao dyan sa venue. It was just, insane, you know, and bringing the UAAP and the NCAA down there was phenomenal. So we got back, I think, on Monday, and we just took a little break, I think a few days off from practice, so we'll start back up here shortly. So it's been kind of nice to kind of rest because we really haven't had a break from D-League. It was Phil Oil D-League. I think it was the other tournament that we were in, went to Japan, came back, and then had Davao. So, it's been wild preparing for the UAAP and its finals week now. So, just recently graduated from the MBA. And then yesterday I had my doctoral admissions interview. And so I was admitted into that program. So I'll start my doctorate. Thank you. I'll start my doctorate in about 2 weeks or so, whenever the next term is.
Yeah. Yeah, so how do you continue preparing for the season since now with Coach Topex, it's a whole new system and people want to see a rejuvenated La Salle team. And of course, it's been a concern that you guys also played a lot of games last season in the preseason and maybe you guys lost some steam heading into season 85. But then now you're playing a lot of games also. But what's the difference now and why do you think you guys won't lose steam and have enough energy and enough stamina for season 86?
Well, kasi ngayon, meron kami yung bagong strength and conditioning coaches natin. Because last year, we had Coach Marlon Silas, who was an amazing strength and conditioning coach, and now he's been able to bring on two more people to his arsenal. So Coach Miggs, Aitona, Coach Jello, and they've been really, really good at projecting our peak performance, our scheduling, everything. So everything is actually systematic now. We have certain weeks that we go really hard. We have certain days that we have hard practice, light practices. Everything is scheduled out months in advance. Come season, kaya natin, diba? So we can actually go full force, full steam. Because last season, we had madaming injuries. We had Mike, Deshaun, and a lot of people had injuries that, we actually didn't even make public. Nelly was dealing with a leg injury. I had a lot of lower back issues, because that season was really grueling, two seasons in 1 year. So now it's really about precise preparation. And so Coach Topex has crafted, a well-oiled machine from his coaching staff and the strength and conditioning coaches. We have a nutritionist here at the dorm. So everything is very precise. So hopefully come season, we'll be at our peak performance. We've had a lot of games, like I said before, D-League, Phil Oil, Japan, Davao. But now we have about, 6 to 7 weeks before the start of the season. And so now it's really about fine tuning everything, making sure our bodies are in the right shape, making sure that we're really working on the small intricacies of Coach system. So everything like that, but we'll be ready.
Yeah. Speaking of being ready and learning the system, what are like the major developments you've seen from your team, like since Coach Topex is, let's say, first day on the job until now, like, what are these massive improvements that you guys have had that you feel you can have the edge against teams like UP or Ateneo?
Well, last season, we were under the helm of Coach Derek, who's an amazing coach, a championship coach in his own right. He's a legend. And now with Coach Topex bringing in and inheriting that core that, Coach Derek really built, Coach Topex is really utilizing everybody's talents in a different way. It's more of a free-flowing system. There are a lot of people can do a lot more different things now. Like, that's why a lot of people are, saying or they're being surprised that we're playing so many tournaments. Everyone's already getting a chance to scout us, things like that. But that's only the tip of the iceberg that we've been working on. Just to kind of even switch this to more, technical basketball talk, we're having a lot of our bigs bring down the ball, shoot more threes. Our guards are looking to post up more and have more, you know, cuts to the basket that are attacking that. A lot of backdoor cuts, things like that, that we're even playing certain guys in different positions. You know, Mark Milinoy is really solidifying himself as a true two guard, you know, as a shooting guard. You know, he can just run up and down the floor. He can probably run up and down in four steps and beat everybody on the floor, you know. And so we're going to see a rejuvenated Flash. I'm really excited for Mark Milinoy. Evan Nelly, obviously, he's, you know, the Green Archer this season. He's going to – our King Archer this season. He'll be the one steering the ship, really a pass first. I mean, seeing his transformation from kind of being a takeover guy, you know, scoring-wise, to now he's a Rajon Rondo, Chris Paul facilitator type. I mean, he's doing amazing work. Then you have Kevin and Mike and Eskandor and all of these guys that are just, you know, that are going to be core for us this year. So, you know, Brighton Owongo is going to be shooting threes. Kevin Kalmbaugh is going to be a point guard. So there's a lot of things that Coach Topex is allowing us to do. He calls practice our playground now. So within our playground, we have a lot of, you know, methods to make mistakes. We can play off each other. We can learn. We can try new things, you know, within the realm of that playground. So come season, you might see us do some things, but we practice those things, you know, compared to last season. Everybody was a bit more timid, you know, a bit more methodical, because, you know, we had to run a certain system a certain way. And sometimes now, because we have a lot more veteran experience now, people are able to play off different situations. So I think that's one of the big things that's going to really help this team is the veteran experience. The UAP is not new to 80% of the guys on this team. So that's going to be really, really big for us.
Yeah. Speaking of like, yeah, the freedom that you guys are getting, of course you need like the leadership style and like, yeah, the veterans that you mentioned. So yeah, everyone watches you guys on the court, but how about being off the court? Like how does the leaders, like the veterans, I'm pretty sure you're part of it, and also Coach Topex and his coaching staff, how do you like create the bond and how do you guys get comfortable? So like in the court, you don't need to be like best friends also off the court, but on the court, it translates to you guys having terrific chemistry, especially during UAB.
Well, again, a lot of that off-the-court team building falls on the shoulders of the veterans. You know, myself, Nelly, Joaquin Manuel, Eskandor, you know, Mike, the guys that have kind of been around the block and they know what it takes to win. Some of the smaller, not smaller, but some of the other champions, because we haven't experienced the UAP championship yet, but we have experienced, you know, the D-League championship twice, some of the other tournaments. So it really falls on to building those bonds outside of the court. You know, what I'm really blessed to have here at LaSalle, and a lot of the other players are, is we're giving everything. I mean, we're really blessed here at one of the top schools with the top management. So whether we're taking team trips, you know, to the beach, or we're doing movie nights, or we're doing other team bonding skills, some concrete things. One of the things that I learned during my Gila stint when I was training under Coach Chott and Coach Tim, Coach Chott was a phenomenal team facilitator, a team chemistry builder. So I actually stole some of his activities, and then we implemented some of those when we were in Japan, just to have everyone kind of open up to each other, be on the same page, have a lot of vulnerabilities that are inside our team, our locker room, because when you can really trust someone outside the court, then you'll be able to die for them inside the court. So that's what we've been really able and blessed to kind of have this long off season. Because I know last season it was very short, you know, sobrang mabilis yung talaga yung last season. Because 2-3 months, tapos tadesho sa UAP ulit. So this time we've been able to have, you know, 5, 6, 7 months to really, really prepare and really understand what our coaches want, what our management wants, what our players want. So all of that is going to culminate into a very, very phenomenal season. And we want to hit the ground running come season opener.
Yeah, that's fantastic to hear for the LaSalle fans. And yeah, hopefully championships back, first time since 2016. But yeah, speaking of having a program, like when I talk to the players now, like they're so emphatic when it comes to having this new coaching staff and new system. And I'm curious to know in your opinion on having like a robust basketball program, like in collegiate, especially because LaSalle, as you know, even before you got here, like they'd have different coaches from like Jermaine Bird, from Alden Ayo to Louis Gonzalez, and then Coach Derek, and then Coach Topex. Like it's been very confusing. And that whole time, like Ateneo's just had Coach Tab. So they've had like a one system that they've gotten used to. So how do you explain to like the viewers and how important it is to have that some sort of continuity in order to achieve the success at that level?
Oh, continuity is one benefit of some collegiate programs, that, you know, you're coming into a system that's already established. a coaching staff that's already established, and it just is plugging in the different players, teaching them, molding them. And so that is a benefit. You know, it has its pros and its cons as well. And so, you know, what we've been blessed here at LaSalle is ever since I've been here, some of the coaches, at least from the coaching staff, have been here since, you know, my initial, I think, 2025, like Coach Gian, Coach Mon Jose, you know, all of our PT staff, you know, they've been there. So some threads of continuity have existed. And, you know, we've just been adding different pieces. First it was Coach Derek and his coaching staff, and now it's Coach Topex and his coaching staff. Before I got here, I know, you know, Madame coaches with, you know, my Ebung assistant coaches, da, da, da. So, you know, continuity is key. But when you play for such an esteemed institution like LaSalle, you know that winning is a priority. And so we need that, you know, we need that continuity, but it also falls on us players to really utilize the wisdom and experience that our coaches bring. You know, our coaches are not the ones out there, aren't the ones playing out there. We are, but they're the ones guiding, directing, you know, moving the troops around. And so it falls on us players, you know, to kind of help them maintain that continuity as well, because we need to do what they're asking of us so that way we can, you know, we can maintain that program throughout. So, but now it's been phenomenal. You know, Coach Topex has built such a robust coaching staff, bringing in, you know, Coach OG, Coach Oliver, Coach Colloy from the PBA, you know, all of these coaches that just each have their own specific role, and they each have their own specific part to play in practice, out of practice, during games. So, I mean, everything really flows like a professional system, offense, defense, logistics, player development, everything. So, I mean, it's been one of the best basketball experiences I've ever had in my life, seeing how this system has been generating, you know, results for us.
Yeah. How many years do you have left?
This is my last season for basketball.
Oh, but for volleyball, can you still play?
For volleyball, yes. This would be, so technically this is my last UAP year. So basketball, aga tapos volleyball mamaya.
Oh, okay. Yeah, is it because of the age limit, since you haven't played yet a lot of seasons? Is it because you're going to go over the age limit?
So because I'm such an old man, I mean, I still don't understand how I'm even in college. I mean, but, you know, I'm 24 now. And the cutoff is 25. So, you know, you can't turn 25 during the entirety of a single UAP calendar. So for some people, they have lucky birthdays that they might have an early birthday or right outside the limit. But mine is smack down right, I think, a week or 2 weeks before the cutoff. So So this is my cutoff. But it's perfectly fine.
Okay. Yeah. We're excited to see you play for LaSalle for one more year. But yeah, talking about, you mentioned also playing for Gilas. How did that opportunity come about? And yeah, you mentioned also that you learned a lot from Coach Tim and Coach Chot. So what particularly did you learn? That, so of course, these are like professionals and it's different, and only like a few of you guys were from the collegiate level. So how was that experience? How did you formulate that experience? How did you absorb it?
Noong initial announcement, Sobrang excited at gigaloko, kasi never in my life did I think that I would even have a chance to be in the pool talaga of Gila. So that was really for the SEA Games, and obviously, you know, Michael is there, and he's the collegiate standout, and I'm just there kind of making sure he has his shoes in his bag, and, you know, he has his water, you know, I'm kind of just the Tito in the back, but I was able to go along with him and kind of just join that pool and be a practice player. And actually travel with the team to Cambodia. And so being around Coach Chot, Coach Tim, you know, C Stan, Brownlee, CJ Perez, man, all of Chris Ross, all of those. I mean, we're brothers for life now because of that small window we had from, you know, Gilas in Morocco to the Inspire camp, all the way to Cambodia. Those are memories that I'll never forget ever in my life. And being with our backs against the wall against Cambodia, who had, you know, all of those Americans on their team, and that whole experience, the court, the atmosphere, the fans. I mean, it was just such a great experience. And thankfully we were able to get that gold, you know, bring a positive light to Coach Chot and his group and the management, you know, that we're really thankful for at Gilas, to catapult them into the World Cup. And so I know that they're preparing really, really hard. I'm glad. Everybody's there. Kai's there. Clarkson's there. You know, so I know that they're working hard. But being a part of their system, seeing how professionals really train, how they take care of their body, how they react to scouting reports, how intricate and complicated those scouting reports can be compared to some of the other levels of basketball. I mean, it really is just a different hierarchy of basketball. So being able to get that at a young age, I know not only just helped me, but also my younger brother, you know, as he prepares for that life moving forward.
Yeah. Yeah. Being in a Gilas uniform, does it also make you eligible for FIBA, or you can only play for like Asian Games or SEA Games?
I'm not so cognizant of all of the rules. I know that that's probably something that agents or management will probably know more about. I just know that I show up and I was just happy to get a jersey. Man, as soon as I saw that Gilas jersey with 42 and Phillips on the back, I mean, I almost cried. I mean, that was something that, you know, I'm framing as soon as I get home. But I don't know all the rules and intricacies of those different, you know, of those rulings. Hopefully, you know, being in that space will only get more opportunities. So, you know, just keeping an open mind and always keeping my body ready for whatever the next call up is. I'm grateful for that initial call up, and I'll keep preparing and training and practicing for whenever my name is called again. If ever, then I'll be ready.
Yeah, hopefully, because I'm not also sure. Like, I've seen articles and I think they were also unsure if you guys would be eligible. But yeah, I think for this World Cup, they didn't really get collegiate players because you guys are preparing for the UEAP and pretty near World Cup preparations. But yeah, speaking of the World Cup, and you mentioned already the practices with JC and Kai, what are you most expecting to see? Like, what are you most looking forward to? I mean, the last time we hosted a World Cup here in the country was 1973, I believe. And it's not the Gilas that you'd want to watch, but also the other countries play here on home turf. So what are you looking forward to as a fan this time and watching our country, 31 other countries play?
Sobrang masayoko that all of these, you know, maraming magaling players are coming here to Manila, you know, so it's not just really, really advantageous for our Gilas team to go against that level of international talent. And, you know, iron sharpens iron, so I know those players will come out on the other end better. But for the entire Filipino, you know, country, for the fans, for the economic prosperity, the tourism, for all of the different aspects of watching people that you might see in the NBA or in other international leagues play right in front of you at the venues, it's just going to be an amazing experience. And I'm glad that all of the other countries, you know, and their players, they're excited to come to the Philippines. Because Sabirani, I know, ni Carl Anthony Towns, ni my ibang NBA players, they know that the Philippines is really basketball crazy, and I think they're excited as well. So it's just going to be, you know, a month or a month and a half, however long that window is here, of just pure basketball, pure enjoyment. There's going to be a lot of events, a lot of fanfare, a lot of, you know, people that are just going to be enjoying, you know, the purity of the sport, the love of the sport, seeing, you know, the international game come here. And I'm really, really proud and happy that, you know, the management of the Gilas and all of the sponsors are putting together such a wonderful program. We actually, LaSalle was a part of the exhibition test games for Gilas. And so we kind of got to go through, you know, coming into the studio, or not the studio, the venue, the locker room, seeing how the call outs would be, seeing how the halftime show would be. And, you know, we were part of that practice squad. So I know that back then, they were already on the right track, and they've already made, you know, really, really good steps since then. So it's going to be such an amazing experience for everybody, and I'm such a fan.
Yeah, I can't wait. Like, everyone's been watching for Gilas, but me, I'm like a basketball junkie, so I like watching all the other games. If I'm at home, I'll just look for it and then watch it. Like, there's three venues, right? MOA, Araneta, Philippine Arena. So there's going to be a game going on for sure anytime. So it will be fun to watch. But yeah, you talked also about your relationships in LaSalle and relationships in Gilas. I'm curious to know also, like, how did you have this like personality or mindset of being close to people in a quick time or fast time? Like, even in LaSalle, like, I can see you talking to like the students, the profs, like, you have great relationships with people. So did that come from like how your parents raised you, from how you grew up in school? Like, where did that come from? Because I like how you guys, the brothers are like that.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, everything, our makeup, our chemical composition, our emotional quotient, all of that comes from our parents. You know, my My mom is a doctor in psychology, you know, so we could never lie to her because she would just be able to find out everything anyway. So we learned real early. And she's been really helping us with, you know, our mental capacity, our mental health, all of that from such a young age. And our father, he's not only a pastor, but he's a former international basketball player as well. He played a lot in Germany and Luxembourg overseas. So, you know, they raised us the right way that that two parents should raise any set of children. You know, we're really blessed to have grown up in such a loving atmosphere, an opportunistic atmosphere where they gave us everything. They put us in the right situations. They put us in the right, you know, places to succeed. And they always were there to have our back. And, you know, they always taught us to smile first, shake hands, look people in the eye, be approachable, you know, because we're a bit bigger than most people. And so sometimes we might come off as intimidating. So that's why we need to be really, you know, more gentle giants that I got, you know, so things like that. But really it's our parents, our grandparents, and just the entire community that kind of shaped us as we were growing up. And a lot of that had a lot of Filipino influence as well. Our Lolas, our Titas that were back in the States. So that's kind of the upbringing of the Phillips brothers.
Yeah. But yeah, speaking of that, yeah, you mentioned that you guys were brought up well by your parents, but even when you guys were gaining more following or more fans here in the Philippines, how do you maintain that kind of like humbleness and modesty? Because not all the athletes, when they start getting fans, they tend to change or they tend to have a different attitude. But you guys remain intact and people still find you guys as approachable or humble as when you guys first came here in the country.
I mean, it's funny. Back in the States, you know, we would never have thought that we would reach this platform or this level. But actually, when you get to, you know, these certain milestones or these certain social, you know, parameters where people think that you're this or you're that, for us, I mean, we're just the same normal people that we were raised. You know, we're still followers of Christ, you know, and so the only fan that we want to please is the Lord. And so when we know that that's our North Star and that's our homecoming, everything else, you know, we're all children of God. We want to treat people with respect. We're approachable. We learn a lot from the other students, from the other players, from all of the fans, you know, because, again, we're in the Philippines and we can learn so much. A lot of my classmates, a lot of my teammates, along with my brother, they're the ones that taught me, you know, my Tagalog and things like that and the cultural differences here. So I don't think fame should ever change somebody. You should always remain intact who you are, no matter how big or how small you are. Because what we've learned is if you can impact one person, if you can change one person's life, you know, how that makes you feel and how that spreads to other places, that feeling is insurmountable. So we never want to think that we are above that. We always want to just spread the message of the Lord.
Oh, yeah, that's a terrific mindset. Not everyone would really have that, especially when they gain, yeah, the perks that you guys receive from being a terrific athletes or personalities here in the country. But yeah, you speaking of what you said, that you're only going to play one more year, the UAP, both for basketball and volleyball. Like, since you have a lot of like dreams and aspirations in the world, like what are you up to after playing in the UAP and after your MBA?
So after this season, you know, I haven't really decided on a concrete direction. You know, I'm keeping a lot of my opportunities open, a lot of my bridges open. You know, my father never taught me to always keep, you know, doors open, windows open, just so, you know, you always have different plans for whatever may happen. So if ever I'm blessed to, you know, pursue a professional basketball opportunity, whether it's, you know, a great league like the PBA or some other leagues that are international, then I'll keep that door open as well. Really, one of my core focuses would be on completing my doctorate and studying my doctorate, because that will be, you know, a 3 to 4 year process. So I really love doing research, doing seminars, doing talks. Getting that terminal degree is going to be something that is a key focus of mine. And then I also own a lot of different businesses, both here and in the States. And so, you know, correlating that with my doctoral degree and my research, that's going to be something that, you know, I'm really, really fascinated with. And then just making sure I can help out LaSalle, you know, any way I can, because I'm in the States, whether it's helping out with recruitment or helping out with, you know, anything that, you know, the players need or whatever kind of role, you know, the managers might see me long term with LaSalle. You know, that's always something too. So I'm just, you know, an open book. I'm a sponge. I really want to work with a lot of alumni, both from LaSalle and the other Philippine schools, and really just immerse myself deeper in the culture. So doing business, doing academia and doing sports, that's kind of my triangular focus right now moving forward.
Yeah, you have a lot of like, yeah, dreams and aspirations, as I mentioned. And there are some people like here in the Philippines where they're in college ready and they still don't know why they chose that course or what they're going to do after they graduate from that course. So what advice or what suggestions could you give these people? Because you have like a lot of, yeah, you have direction in business, in sports, in being a writer as well. And yeah, yeah, you have a lot of things you want to do and achieve in this world. So what would you tell people that have like little sense of direction only, or they lack of sense of direction, for them to actually find their niche?
Well, it's funny, Diego. You know, when I first started out in my collegiate career, I had wanted to go to play basketball at MIT in Boston, Massachusetts, in the States. And so I flew out there. I had a basketball camp. And then I also flew out to Georgetown, had a nice little academic camp there. And so in my mind, I was so focused on law. I wanted to become a lawyer and then become president of the United States. Like, that's how simple it was to me in my mind. And I didn't really understand all the stair steps in between. But then I shifted to business, and I went to school at Miami University in Ohio, Oxford, Ohio. And I didn't know which business course to take. Started off economics, shifted to finance, found out real quick that I was not good at finance as a major, shifted to marketing, finished out my degree there, jumped into the MBA, was able to get a holistic view of business, and then jumped right into the doctorate. And still, you know, I'm not completely sure on what path I want to do, you know, but what I always tell people is that if you are really good at the space you're in right now, that doesn't mean that you're an expert in an individual aspect of your life right now, is that if you put yourself in opportunities and you work on cultivating different skill sets, like I have a lot of business skill sets that are transferable to other courses, other industries, other job opportunities, whatever have you, then if I make myself a chameleon, if I make myself very valuable to whoever I'm talking to or whatever project I'm working on, things will figure themselves out, right? You never want to be so stuck on a singular path, because as soon as you might find a barrier, or you might be diverted off that path from measures not that you control, injuries in basketball or whatever may have you, then now you're kind of done in that space. So, you know, my father always told me, keep as many opportunities as you have open. Don't be so, I would say, stuck on what you're trying to do, on what you think you want to do, but just keep doing what you're doing now and just diversify some of your interests, right? I teach myself music. I know piano. I know guitar. I write books. You know, I'm a big video game nerd. I love anime, right? So I do all of these things, and I don't necessarily know what the 25-year-old Ben is going to do, but I know the 24-year-old Ben is going to work on everything he can. And then when things come up, when opportunities arise, I'll be able to step into any door because I have that skill set behind me. So people put way too much pressure on themselves at a young age, and I understand that people have, you know, different familial pressures or self-inflicted pressures, professional pressures. But, you know, from 20 to 30, man, we're all just figuring this thing out, man. So just do the best you can be healthy, be safe, and just figure some stuff out.
Yeah, that's the perfect encapsulation to wrap up the episode. And yeah, thank you, Ben, for joining me here on the podcast. And do you have any final message before you go?
Manaming salamat sa Lasallian community. Sana we will bring back the championship to TAF. This is our year. So please support us, especially the new rookies who are coming into this trial by fire. Please, you know, pray for a injury-free tournament for all of the schools, and we look forward to seeing you come this UAAP.
Yeah, thank you so much again, Ben. And before you go, is it okay if we take a picture?
Absolutely.
Okay, I'll take it from here. 1, 2, 3. Hey, thank you, Ben, for joining me on the pod. And yeah, stay safe, and hopefully have you again soon before the season, or maybe after the season.
Absolutely. Hit me up. You have my number.
Of course. Thank you.